And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night. We actually have teaching time with Pastor Fred, and then when he's finished, we have Watch and Pray, and that's basically open prayer time that we can pray when we as long as we want. So let me check here. And hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. Lord bless you.
And I had a little. Let me see here. I'm still playing around. Yeah, hang on. There we go. I have to press buttons and still get a handle on what I'm doing. But so I'm glad that you're here, Pastor Fred, and you've got a good message from us from what you taught on Sunday.
Yes, yes. Always too much, but I always think that we need a lot more than we get from the Word, because we only spend, 168 hours in a week. And most people just spend an hour or two with church, and that's it. So I tend to overdo it, don't I?
I don't think so. I mean, you got like an hour here anyways, if you want it. So I don't think you ever reach out for an hour. It's good. Your teaching is very thought-provoking and edifying.
It's the word. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, so let me begin with a word of prayer. And Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. And we thank you for the great understanding of your word you have given Pastor Fred. So we thank you for that, Lord. We're asking that you would be a great anointing, that you continue to give him a great anointing when he's teaching. And Lord, I think that this is excellent because he teaches on Sunday, and then he's got the basic material again, but you can always put like a little different twist on it the second time. So I ask for teaching that's really tailored to us, Lord. So bless him, bless him, bless him now. And the Bible says, whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. I have some walnut trees on my property, and I only discovered my father-in-law brought them. He brought one, I think. And now there must be, at least five or six little ones and big ones. And I discovered that nothing grows under the walnut tree. So I went and looked it up, and sure enough, the walnut tree, the roots and other things give out toxins. Now, some people say that's a myth, but I'm telling you, I had a cherry tree under a walnut tree. It didn't grow. I had the grass under the walnut tree doesn't grow. It gives us an awful lot of black walnuts, but it's just phenomenal. So that there are some plants that we have that completely inundate and take over. And that's the message that I'm trying to give today, because too many people read scripture, and especially where it says you must have faith as a tiny, faith like a mustard seed. And so everybody believes that, and they teach it too. We just need a little faith and just hang on with a thread and you'll be fine. But I hope once we're finished today that you'll see and understand how that our faith has to be so big, so powerful, so all-encompassing, so all-destroying every other thing in our life, that without faith it's impossible to please God, and without faith nothing happens. And without faith, we are not to believe that we're to have this tiny little bit of faith that might do something, but it's supposed to be an overwhelming faith, and that's what we're talking about. Father, we pray that as we read your word, you'll show us your way and lead us in your path, and keep me from coming back with my own ideas, but we need the ideas of what your word says. I'm in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore, in the verse, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, when we're talking about the rest, we're talking about when God and the Lord Jesus created the world, and 6 days he worked, and on the seventh he rested. In other words, he had completed everything. There was nothing else left to do, and therefore he rested. The verse 2 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest in the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, I'm reading verse 5 and now going to verse 6 of Hebrews 4. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Let me read that in the Amplified, just the verse 2 of Hebrews 4. Verse 2 and 3. For indeed we have had the good news of salvation preached to us, just as the Israelites also, when the good news of the promised land came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because it was not united with faith in God by those who heard. For we who believe, that is, we who personally trust and confidently rely on God, enter that rest. So we have his inner peace now, because we are confident in our salvation and assured of his power, just as he said, as I swore an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. God rested because everything, and I'm reading here now, not reading the scriptures. Everything that needed to be done was done. Everything was complete, fully accomplished. So in human terms, this expression he used is like when a lawyer completes his case in court. He rests his case. Everything is in evidence. There's nothing left to present. What I'm about to talk about is, and obviously you pick it up, is faith. Now, I want you to come across to Matthew 6 with me, please. We're going to go through Matthew, so hold your Bible open, and we're going to be looking at some passages in Scripture where Jesus, and it always concerned me, the number of times he said to his disciples and others, you know, why did you doubt? Where's your faith? Oh, you of little faith. And why would he then say, oh, little faith, when he would say, oh, all you need is a little faith of a mustard seed? But the thing to understand about the mustard seed and a mustard tree is, we'll get to it when we get to Matthew 17. But right now, in Matthew 6:30, come with me to Matthew 6, verse 30. Wherefore, and he's talking about Solomon in all his glory and us worrying about what we're going to put on and how we're going to pay for this and how we're going to get that, and worrying about material things and spiritual things, and especially about our clothes. So he tells us to consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And therefore he says, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Come with me now to Matthew 8, 5 to 13. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. There's a centurion, a Roman, comes and says, his servant is sick. He'd heard about the Lord, and he says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So he explains that he's a soldier under authority, and he tells people where to go and when to come. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. So there again, we're talking about faith. So in verse 13, he says to him, and Jesus said unto the centurion, to a Roman, to a Gentile, to a goy, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Now we're looking for those kind of things in this day and age when we get to the revival stage. We should be able to have them now. Come with me now to Matthew 9, chapter 20, verse 22. Matthew 9, 22. Talking about this daughter. My daughter is close to death. Now this man risked leaving his wife and all his family and everyone crying about the sick girl dying. And he goes down to see Jesus. And you know how he gets delayed by the lady who grabs hold of the Lord's garment, who had been sick much longer for many years, lost a lot of money and had an issue of blood that couldn't be healed. But then we go to Matthew 9, 22. But Jesus turned about him when he saw her, the woman who had touched him. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Come with me to verse 29. Verse 29 in chapter 9. According to your faith. Matthew 9, 22, I just read. 29. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And that's verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, believe you that I'm able to do this? Then they said unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Because of your faith, be it unto you. Come with me now to Matthew 14, verse 3. Matthew 14, verse 3. Hope you're following me through the scriptures with your Bibles, because it's good to be able to look at the word and put it in your eyes, as it says in the Psalms many times, to have it in your eyes and in your face and your lips and in your heart. Matthew 14, 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know the story. Peter's walking on the water. And he obviously had some faith to hop onto the water. I don't know how many of you or I have such faith. But that takes a big faith. It doesn't take a tiny little bit of faith. But look what happens. He starts to sink. And he cries out to the Lord, save me. And Jesus says, O thou of little faith. Again, he's constantly telling them, they don't have a lot of faith. Now, he's not being nasty. He's just telling him the facts. Why did you doubt? Come with me to Matthew 15, 28. Matthew 15, 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Again, be it unto thee even as you will. The daughter was healed in that very hour. Matthew 17, 17. Matthew 17, 17. And here's where the story gets a little more clearer for you on this. And I'm going to try and show you the fact that Jesus is not asking us to have a tiny faith like a mustard seed, but we're to have a faith as a mustard seed. And that is, a mustard seed does this. Let's read it first and then we'll get to it. 17:17 of Matthew. Jesus answered and said, now what's happened? They've just come down from the transfiguration. Jesus was up, his face was radiant like the sun. It was the Lord of glory. Moses and the other prophet, Joshua, was there. And three disciples were there. And they come down from the mountain and they're full of glory. all of a sudden, there's this commotion. This man's got this lunatic child. Disciples can't heal him, and he's upset. And obviously, everyone's looking around and saying, hey, how come his disciples can't heal? You know, they've been healing people. They've been delivering people. And this was before the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the world. And they've been healing the sick, preaching the gospel, doing all the things that Jesus told them to do. Jesus himself said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So the whole thing is very dramatic. And verse 17, Jesus, this man brings his child to Jesus and he says, they can't cure him, Lord. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Now, that's not a very good testimony or description of you and me, but with that tiny little faith that we've been preaching about, that all you need is a tiny bit of faith, I really don't think that that's how it's supposed to be. Verse 18, Jesus rebuked the devil. Verse 20, Jesus said unto them, well, of course, in verse 19, the disciples are all upset. Those other nine who couldn't do anything, even though that all the other times that we don't read of any time where they were unable to do something like this. And they said to him, Lord, why couldn't we do it? And verse 20 of chapter 17, Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remain, remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, and then that verse 21 is important too, because that adds to our faith, as I will say a little bit later on from Scripture. Nothing shall be impossible. What he's not telling us to have a tiny little bit of faith, like a tiny seed. Everybody on that day who were there knew what a mustard seed plant did. And it was the bane and the horror of a good farmer and an agriculturalist and people with gardens, and knew that a mustard seed plant tree, when it grows up to be a tree, it devours everything underneath it, just like my walnut trees. It is invasive. It is faith. This is faith. This is faith. It destroys every other plant. It dominates the soil. It becomes massive, and it's hard to get rid of. It's unable to get rid of it. It's also faith, and the mustard seed faith is not something fragile. It spreads. It's unwavering. It doesn't politely exist with fear. It doesn't positively exist with fear and doubt. It establishes authority in God's kingdom. Faith does. It's not tiny faith. It's mountain-moving faith. Mountain-moving faith is what Jesus is talking about. He says, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and that as the grain of a mustard seed, not like a seed, but as. And they know that what a mustard seed does when it grows. They all knew it. They didn't have to be told what that meant. We do, because we're not privy to this kind of thing. But we get the picture here where he says that this is all-encompassing. This is big faith. This is not tiny faith. this is something that takes over everything. And now I'd like to go into the many different ways in which Scripture gives to us faith, and maybe you're going to get too many scriptures here, but it's going to be worthwhile. But in this passage, Matthew 17:21, we learn something about faith. Faith has a lot of things coming with it, and I'll explain further and show more of the verses in Scripture. But here he says, well, you remember where James says faith without works is dead? Well, Jesus said here, howbeit, verse 21, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is works, part of the works of God. And so you have a caveat about faith. We're supposed to have big faith. We're supposed to have all-encompassing faith. We're supposed to have faith that moves mountains, faith that'll take a tree and out by the roots and put it into the sea. Come with me to Matthew 21:21, just the last ones in Matthew, I believe. 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. Now, you know the fig tree story. Jesus wants to go and get some fruit out of this fig tree. He's hungry. It's got leaves, but no fruit. And he says, well, you know, you're dead. We don't need you anymore. And by his mouth, by the word of the Lord, by his words, the fig tree withers away. And the disciples marveled, and they're saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away, in verse 20? And then Jesus says, verily I say unto you, and he's again teaching them, if you have faith. Now he's talking about big faith. He's not talking about some kind of, well, maybe faith, or some kind of faith that just is hoping. But this is big faith. And doubt not, that's important. You shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also, and he adds to it, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and that to you and me is an impossibility. It to the natural mind, to the carnal mind, and to the spiritual mind. A lot of the people don't even believe it. A lot of people who love the Lord don't believe that we can. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, there's the other. Faith without works is dead. Prayer, believing, you shall receive. There is so much that is joined onto faith. But we are to have a big faith, a big faith. Now, the next aspect of faith that I would suggest to us is 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I had all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. There you are. There's another aspect of faith. I could have all the faith, give everything I've got away. I could work for the Lord. I could become poverty stricken. I could give everything for everyone. I don't have it with love. I am nothing. So thus far, what we have, we're to have a huge faith that inundates and overwhelms everything and is in every part of our lives. And that is the extreme position, not the extreme position, but the extreme cover for every part of our life, for every aspect. And you know what Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You know, also in Scripture it says, we walk by faith and we not by sight. There's another, the things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Now, that explains itself. And Hebrews 11:6, just down from Hebrews 11:1, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith has a lot of things hanging around it and a lot of teaching for us to, and then obviously, you know yourself and you've had it. I don't need to teach you all these things, but we can put it all together and praise God. How does faith come? Faith, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is linked very close to the word of God, and his word is to be in our mouth and into our heart. Romans 14:23 also is another one. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This is frightening. Faith has to encompass everything in our life. Faith in the Lord Jesus, have faith in God. It says in Mark, very carefully, Mark 11:22, have faith in God, have the faith of God. Is that tiny mustard seed faith? No, it's big faith. We're to expand our faith. And Scripture also tells us where to expand our tents, where to expand our thinking. My ways aren't your ways, says the Lord. My thinking isn't your thinking. I want you to think big. So whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And as I read, and though I have faith to do all kinds of things in 1 Corinthians, I don't have love. My faith becomes nothing. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved by faith. By faith. We're saved by faith. Faith without works is dead, we mentioned. James 1:6-8. But let him ask for wisdom, he's talking about. Faith will give you wisdom. Let him ask in faith, not nothing wavering, not a double mind, no double-mindedness. James 2:14-17 says, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Even so faith, if it have no works, is dead. And we mentioned some of the works that is linked to faith. It's alone. It's by itself. So we're told to be, in James 1:23, a hearer. Not just a hearer, but a doer. In other words, we vow, we give, we pray, we worship, we fast. There's many, many scriptures where Jesus talks to his people, whoever it is, whether it's a Gentile or whether it's a Jewish person or it's one of the disciples. He was always telling them to have faith. And it wasn't a little faith. It was a huge faith. Now, the last one that I'd like to talk about is another reason why we don't have faith. In Job 13, verse 6, I think it is, Job's going back and forth with all his three friends who are castigating him, basically, for his attitude towards his troubles and his afflictions. He says, hear now, in verse Job 13, verse 6, hear now my reasoning. Now, in the Bible, when it sees the word reasoning, it's my pleading. When the Bible talks about reasonings, it's pleading. But we've changed the meaning of that word a little bit. And we have this, hear now my reason for not doing this or my reason for not doing that. It's kind of justification for something. And the Lord kind of reminded me that going along with faith is this excuse that many of us have when we have a reason why there is something in life. Okay, what about if there were alcoholics for four generations in your family? What if there was cancer? What if there was anger? Or we give reasons for why things are so, why our children come home from college and their hearts are changed completely away from the faith that we've taught them. They've turned the truth of God into a lie, like it says in Romans 1:25. And so we we think we have a reason not to have faith. That's what I believe is what we're being taught here. Where there is no justification for us not to have faith in every situation and not to believe and accept diagnosis and things that the Lord brings into our lives, afflictions, pain, sorrow, trouble, death, joy, finances, lack of finances, huge finances. We're not to have reasons not to have faith. There should be no reason in the Christian's life not to have faith, not to believe, not to walk by faith, not by sight. Remember when the news came to the man who was waiting for Jesus to come to his house, Jairus' daughter. He was risking everything. They would have thrown him out of the synagogues for sure, or out of his position, if they knew that he was coming to Jesus to get this help. And Jesus said to him, after he'd heard the people come to him and say, well, now, just give up. She's dead already. That was a good reason not to have faith, wasn't it? And you know what Jesus said in Mark 5:36? I love Jesus. I love the way he deals with us. This man, obviously, his heart fell from his mouth, from into his stomach, into the pit of his stomach. You know what it's like to lose a loved one? You know what it's like to lose your daughter or your son or your wife or some? Jesus said, don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. In another place, I think he said, be not faithless, only believe. So Jesus is asking us not to have a tiny little bit of faith, like everybody thinks that a mustard seed is a tiny little grain. But when it grows into a big tree. You know that when he says it grows into a big tree and the birds of the air come into it. Well, you know what the birds of the air are. You get that in the parable of the sower. The birds of the air are Satan's friends coming to take the word away from you. And they're in the tree. They're in the mustard tree. They live there. They have their place there. So you realize that faith, like a mustard tree that overcomes everything, also has the attacks of the enemy. You know that John 10:10, Jesus says that the thief comes to kill and to destroy. For my sheep hear my voice, John 27, and they follow me. They know me. They know me and they follow me. They hear my voice. The voice of the Lord is calling us to have much more faith than we have. Don't accept the little story, because why would he tell all these other people all along in all these scriptures that we shared, oh, you have little faith, oh, you have little faith, oh, you have little faith. Then, of course, and then say to the disciples, oh, you just need a little bit of faith for this one. No, there's no way a little faith is going to get rid of a mountain. And we have to have overwhelming, all-encompassing, sin-destroying, doubt-delaying, anxiousness-destroying faith. Faith that rests. Do you understand? Rests. That's why he's done everything for us. Faith that rests. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hebrews 4:3. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. It's been given to everyone. It's up to you to keep your faith hot and keep it from being lukewarm, keep it from being cold. You have to exercise faith. It's a muscle. It's a spiritual muscle. I didn't even go into the fact that we receive the Spirit of God by faith. We receive the Holy Spirit by faith. We receive salvation by faith. But these are huge things, and it doesn't take a little faith. Yes, I know the scripture says, call unto me in the day of trouble and I'll save you. Yep. We can cry out to the Lord in our, what we might think is our little faith, but he's asking us to have faith that is going to grow to the point where it encompasses every aspect of our life, every situation, every anger, every hurt, every joy, every prosperity, every peace, every ministry. Got to be with love. It's got to be with works. Got to be something that is expected and hoped for day in, day out. Walk by faith. Let me finish the verse. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word. The Lord wants us to have mighty faith. Faith, mighty faith. The promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done. And cries, it shall be done. And cries, it shall be done. Looks at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this amazing, amazing faith. Oh, may we not swallow the lie that we as Christians, especially after 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, that we just have a tiny little faith. No, Lord. We have to have a faith that destroys every weed that the devil brings into our life and immediately does it. It's toxic to him. May we see it and understand it and know it and live in the good of it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you, John.
Amen. 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 Now, it's very interesting what you taught there about faith, because I've always noticed, or I don't say I always noticed, but I've learned to notice that people that are full of fear are full of unbelief. Fear and unbelief go together. If you have a lot of fear, there's a lot of unbelief. If you have a lot of unbelief, there's a lot of fear in people. So the antidote for that is faith. So that's what happened to the disciples.
It's got to be killed. The fear has to be killed by our
faith.
We have to understand that it's so overwhelming. There's just no way fear is going to survive if we have faith.
Right. Exactly.
We have to rest in that.
So what happened was that's why they betrayed the Lord. The Peter and all the disciples, they betrayed him because they were full of fear. And as you were teaching there, he was like, even though they were walking with Jesus, they hadn't developed faith to overcome that fear that was in them. And it wasn't manifested until the Lord was arrested there. And then all of a sudden, their lack of faith just exploded out in the open, and they ran and betrayed him. They were full of fear.
Fear cannot exist, John. It must not.
Right. Yeah.
It's got to be killed.
Fear drains the life out of us, the power out of us. It's very detrimental to us, fear. It's not of God. God
and
is
then
not.
Fear has all those extras there. Without love, we're nothing. We can have all the faith in the world. Faith without love. Faith without works.
Yep. Yep. Well, thank you, Pastor Fred. That was a nice going through scriptures.
Have you heard people teaching that you just got to have a tiny little bit of faith?
I think I have. I think I have through the years.
But
that faith has to grow.
The people listening to him would have understood immediately what he was talking about, but we didn't. Of course, we didn't live in those days. And so you can easily... Because why would he say all the time to them, oh, you have little faith.
Exactly.
He wouldn't have said that. So it doesn't logically make sense that he would say to them, in a situation like the not being able to overcome something that they had been able to overcome every other time, this was a stellar moment in their life. You know, they were thankful and pleased that all the number of times that they preached the gospel and saw people healed and saw demons flee and saw lame walk and the blind see, and they were involved in the ministry, weren't they? And they had this again and again. He would say, well, that's little faith. You're showing a little faith here. I want you to have a lot more. I want you to have a lot more, which is an encouragement to us.
Yes.
That we all need to have more faith than we've got. And then we have reasons as to why we think we don't have to apply faith to a certain thing, because in our natural mind, we say, oh, he's an alcoholic. I've been battling that all my life. Or he's a sex slave, and I've been battling that all my life. No. Faith destroys all sin. Faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the gospel destroys all sin, rests in that. I believe that's what he was trying to teach us.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Pastor Fred, I've also noticed that as we do things for the Lord, I'm trying to describe them, but I'm at a loss right now. I'll say like speaking in public, or like me speaking in Pakistan, we'll say. And then I see these Muslims coming to the Lord. And then I hadn't won a lot of Muslims to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, more Muslims started to come, and more Muslims started to come, and then Hindus started to come, and that engaging like that caused your faith to grow, Pastor Fred. You engage for the Lord like that, you stand in His name, you begin to grow, and so when you do things for the Lord like that, and you see Him working in your life and all, you grow spiritually from that. But if you don't stand and work, you don't grow.
Well, if you don't have faith, faith in the Word to be able to do things, and then the Lord impresses upon us. I mean, you never thought that you'd have, go back 25 years, that you'd have 100 Muslims come to the Lord in any situation.
Right.
It was like a dream.
Right.
It was like an impossibility.
Right.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
And look what's happening now.
Yeah, I have complete faith in speaking that, you know, tens of thousands could come to the Lord. I have no hesitation at all. But you see, but I've built up. My faith got built up.
And yet you were praying for that to a certain extent. But, you know, it was kind of, you know, will it ever happen? It's we're human beings, aren't we?
Right, right, right. And then also you were with me and like with those pro-life battles.
Right, right.
And all those engagements there with like the district attorney and the police and the mayors and the county commissioners and all. I mean, it absolutely, all those encounters made me incredibly, I walk in faith. I have no fear of them whatsoever. None. Zero.
So there was inundating faith. And on another level, in the news, I just heard, a week or two ago, two policemen from New York were killed. Did you see that or not?
What were they killed over, Fred, or about?
I don't know. I immediately thought of you and said to myself, I wonder if they were the ones who tried to kill John.
Kill me?
It was just, remember when they tried to run over you?
Oh, that was in Pennsylvania. Well, no,
yeah,
one in
that's
Pennsylvania.
What I mean, New York.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they were killed. That was, what do you call it? I think that was a home issue. That was that wasn't pro-life.
No, I know, but I'm saying, I'm wondering if that was their judgment. Was it? I mean, you don't know those two policemen whether they were still in the police force or not.
Well, what happened, Pastor Fred? The police didn't try to run me over. They were there when someone tried to run me over, and they refused to do anything.
Exactly. You're right. They refused to.
But the way we won that, Pastor Fred, was the big court case, that big federal court case.
Right.
That was against the sergeant that was looking at that car trying to run me over, and he refused to act. So I won in court against him. He was the subject from York County there, or York City. That's how that worked out.
All right. It was just that my mind went to that immediately when I heard of York, Pennsylvania, and a couple of police lost their life.
And someone wounded, well, too. But anyways, those things we do, Pastor Fred, all those things we do for the Lord, when we stand up for him and do things like that, I know it builds our faith. I know it. Because I've experienced it.
Praise God. But we by faith have to expect big faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by not what we see. We walk by what isn't seen. We just hope, as it says in 11:1 of Hebrews, things hoped for.
Yeah, yeah.
And look at all the things you hoped for. You hoped for these centers to be closed.
Yes. Oh, Pastor Fred.
And imams come to the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Hold on.
Who would have thought imams coming to the Lord?
Right. Exactly. The largest abortion center in the United States was just south of Houston. It was a Planned Parenthood center off of I-45 south of Houston. And Wednesday, they weren't doing abortions here because the Texas law is against it. But it was a four-story building, Fred. It was huge. They did abortions on four stories. No, this wasn't, most of the abortion centers aren't nearly that big, but this one was four stories high. And anyways, it just closed its doors Wednesday. Yeah, Planned Parenthood closed its doors here in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they use the pill now. They make the pill and sell it, don't they?
Yeah.
Or what?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, but see, they can't do abortions here in Texas. They're against the law.
Praise God.
So, well, it was. I enjoyed the teaching and about that faith. Yeah, we have to test the faith, Fred. And when we step out and test, then we take another step and another step, and we grow. We grow. Faith without works is dead, being alone.
But also a resting in faith. That's a big one. In other words, you're not anxious. You're not upset. You're not waiting for the world to bail you out. You're waiting for the Lord to bail you out.
God's got everything under control.
Yeah, I've done everything for you. I've done everything there is. I can't do anything more for you.
Amen.
Well, I want you to have faith now. That's all you got to do is have faith, and you'll get it all.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing what he's given to us?
Amen. All right. How can we pray for you?
Well, thank the Lord for the protection that he's given me in the last little while. Stories you haven't heard, and the Lord is just protecting, and that I'd heal. In different ways, and thankful now that he's again, protected me from the enemy's thrust, and also that our outreach and fellowship might continue on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
Continuing with that.
Yeah.
And there's a new organization, I forget what it's called, life.org or something, that, and we're praying about this, getting Bible clubs in schools. In New York State, you're allowed to get a Bible club in schools if you get 50 signatures of people in the voting district requesting it. And then you go through a process, and there's this organization that will go through it and put allow them either to allow them to have a Bible club or to allow them to ship you away to somewhere else with buses so you can have your Bible club during school time.
Wow. Does every group have to go through this? 50 signatures?
Yeah. Every school district, every school has to have 50 within the electoral district. Doesn't have to be parents. It can be just anyone who votes in that district can request.
Okay.
And we're praying about that right now.
Wow. All right. Well, Father, we bring this Bible club before you, Lord, and I pray that those 50 signatures they'd have, plus whatever else they need. And I pray it will be a bona fide club, Lord, that kids could get edified in it, and that other kids that don't know you, that are interested, they could come, Lord, and receive eternal life in Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord. Father, apparently the last couple of weeks for Pastor Fred has been rough physically. But thank you, Lord, for bringing him through it, Lord. And apparently he's in the healing process. So we thank you. We pray for a quick healing, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then, Lord, we pray for the outreach on Saturday. There's been fruit from that already. There's been some salvations, and I believe one woman. Is she still coming, Fred, to the church?
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, Lord. That's absolutely wonderful. So thank you for that fruit, Lord. And we pray that many, many, many would come to you from that outreach. And if not directly and immediately, Lord, that great seeds would be planted in them, and that at a future date, through the Holy Spirit working in them, could come to Christ as their Savior. So bless his family, Lord. Continue to, Lord, bless Katie and Nate, Lord. We pray for them in a special way, Lord, with the attack on them physically. And thank you. Bless Pastor Fred's funds, Lord. And bless everything he puts his hand. And the church, Lord. We pray that all your blessings in the church, Lord. So thank you, thank you, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, John. Just to give you a little taste and not to go into details, 2 weeks ago, my truck rolled over my knee and just missed my head and smashed into a fence.
Wow.
How that happened, I don't want to say, but that's how the Lord protected me.
Wow.
So I'm still suffering from my just below the right knee. The front wheel went over my leg.
Will you work? Okay, that's okay.
Anything.
Yeah. Huh? Well, Lord, thank you for protecting him, Lord. This has been a season now. Apparently, it's been a season. And so thank you for protecting him. We pray for the healing there of his leg below the knee, Lord. Thank you that it was not more serious. And, Lord, we're asking that your angels be camped about him and no more attacks like that, Lord. That season is over, Lord. And he's standing now with no more attacks like that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Thank you so much for your prayers, and we'll continue. We'll continue with all that you're doing and keep praying with you.
Thank you.
And all the folks that listen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. God bless you now. Bye.
Okay, Lord bless. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John. That was a wonderful, wonderful teaching tonight. And I know that we've heard the words faith over fear a lot, but that's where it all starts, right there. We have to have faith over our fear and stuff. And to me, it's just wonderful. And I'm just glad he taught on that.
Yes. Faith grows. Faith grows.
Yes.
But God does not want any fear in us at all.
Right. And, you know, when you think about the size of the mustard seed and to have that much faith and stuff that most people could not imagine how tiny a mustard seed really is and stuff. Is just, to me, it's a miracle. And those are kind of like brambling bushes. They start growing on the ground and off they go. So you got faith that's spreading all over the place.
Amen. You know, and Sister Sharon,
yes.
Things are contagious. Like, if you have a lot of faith, like you could take in war.
Yeah.
Soldiers that have a lot of faith, that can affect the other soldiers.
Absolutely.
But fear can be very contagious.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you 100%.
So we need
off of our bodies that affects other people.
Yes. Yes. So in the body of Christ, we need people that are full of faith and stand up and lead. See, it's contagious. It can actually flow both good and bad. You know, fear can also overtake people.
Oh, yeah.
So,
amen.
All right, Sister Sharon. Pastor Fred's teachings are always good, always. Sister Kathy. Yes. How was your day?
Yeah, I had a really, really good day. Very good. Nice, quiet, good. And good day. Did
okay.
you get all that you needed to done?
Well, I got, no, I didn't, but I'm satisfied by what happened. So.
Good. And tomorrow's another day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be back for the general prayer. I just want to see what comments people have. Gigi and Randy?
Yes, that was excellent, the teaching. Thank you so much.
I like the progressiveness as he went through the scriptures.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Faith. It's really important. And like I said, we got to exercise it.
Well, I like, he brought up that to walking by faith, didn't he? Randy said he said it. You heard him say it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because if you think about that, you know, faith is moving, right? I mean, faith is moving, whether we're moving or not. But faith is moving. So you're either going backwards or you're going forward.
Yeah. Belief can leave you shriveling under a blanket someplace in the room. And
oh, yeah.
Faith can make you bold as a lion out in the street.
That's right. That was just excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Then we have Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Hello there. Yes. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. You know, when we think about it, we think the size of a mustard seed, but we also think of what comes out of it. And I've used that teaching for myself, you know, to encourage myself at times. And it usually helps. I don't use it to beat myself up with, you know, but to just really look to the Lord to be my, because I've learned that anything that's rock solid is based on Him. And when I get my eyes off the situation and back on Him, it doesn't take a whole bunch of my faith. But when my faith is anchored in His promises and what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's promised to do, it makes such a difference. It's like linking whatever it is that I have with Him, and it's more than enough, because He's more than enough. And for me, I just am so grateful for Pastor Fred, and that came around so quickly to be with us tonight after what he's been through.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple weeks with him.
Pardon?
It's been a rough couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, and then before that, with his kids and what they're going through, you know, sometimes it's harder dealing with what's going through, a loved one's going through, you know, because I don't know why, but for me, it sometimes is. But I am grateful. And so I'd like to, may I say just a quick prayer of gratitude to the Lord?
Absolutely.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for not letting it be worse than it was. I'm so sorry it was as bad as it was, for this car situation to mess up his knee and cause his pain, but he could have been killed, and you didn't let that happen, and I thank you. And I truly am watching what's going on in the world these days. And I do think we need to be covering each other in prayer. Prayer of protection, prayer of the blood of Jesus over our loved ones, and each other, those of us here. Because the enemy's really getting ferocious, more like a lion that's hurt, you know, or a lion that's protecting everything that it's ever had and wanting more. And Father God, I just do pray that we are walking closely with you, so that if we need to stop and not be doing what we're doing, or need to pay a different kind of attention, that we recognize your guidance and we quickly are able to obey. Out on the road these days, it's just essential because of how people are behaving. And I thank you for the times you have saved me from putting my foot on the gas to start when the light says go, when someone's planning to turn right in front of me and do something that is totally illegal. I was talking with someone today who's been having the same type of thing occur in her life. And so it just, to me, is again evidence that we have we have great need of you while we're still here, before you do the great outpouring and the arrival and the blowing of the trumpets. Father God, we're so looking forward to that. But meanwhile, I thank you for the blessing that it gave me just to hear that you saved his life. I mean, you did. And he didn't present it as dramatic as I'm making it, but it was. And the same thing what you're doing for Chaplain John. He's going through things. I mean, and I am so grateful that you're with him, that he's not going through anything alone. And I'm so grateful that I'm not going through anything alone, that you're with me. And I use that to remind myself when there's another thing where I have to take a step and another step has always gone through it with me before, and he always gets me to the other side. And so, Father God, you're awesome. And I just pray that each and every one of us continues to get ever closer with you, so that then when we need you, we have that confidence. It's not so difficult anymore. And it's something that we actually just say, okay, we've done this before, Father. Just get me through. You know, don't let go of my hand. And keep my ears and my eyes on you. And let's get going. You know, don't let me shrink back. Help me to just raise up to be the victorious warrior you want me to be. And it's never from myself. When I get into a place of fierce, what do you call it, declaring of something, it rises up because you've given me the Holy Spirit. And I know where it comes from. It's a gift that you put inside. And we are all so blessed. And every time we go through a lesson with Chaplain here, he stops. He makes pauses so we can ask questions when the questions come. And what a gift that is. How many places can you go and have things that are important presented with such attention to whether people are understanding it as we go? And I want to thank you for Chaplain Sean, and I pray that you protect him through his current situations, but all the time, and that you guide and direct him, and that you give his wife peace so that there's a good, strong background of faith with him as things come up and go. I mean, I pray, Father God, that tonight will be a quiet night. But we do pray that those that are causing this ruckus and those that are now invading because of the open pathway, I pray, Father God, that there be something that happens quickly in the sense of identification to put a stop to all of this behavior. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And I just want to lift us all up to you, Father God, to watch what you can do and then give testimony and celebrate together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I was thinking about fear and faith, like Pastor Fred was teaching. And I had mentioned the district attorney in York County. And I can remember vividly, we were waiting for a court hearing. And there was this man that was looking odd at me. He looked like someone that had a stroke and they were taking medicine. You know, his eyes didn't look right. And so I thought he was just odd. You know, I thought maybe he had been a dementia or something, and he was under drugs. He was in a wheelchair. He was sitting in a wheelchair. So then one of the pro-life guys that I worked with there, Ed was his name, and he came over and he put his back to the district attorney. Stanley Reber was his name, because Ed knew that I didn't know who he was. Ed knew who he was. So Ed said to me, "That's the district attorney Reber." And he was pointing his finger like to himself, because he was behind him. And I said, "What, Ed? What?" He goes, "That's the district attorney, Stanley Reber." And I went, "Oh." Then all of a sudden, I felt it like a hunted animal. This guy, he was looking at me because he wanted me. He wanted me bad as like the pro-life leader there. And all we were doing, and I had been I had been on a radio show exposing what he was doing. I had been to the Attorney General's office exposing him. I'd done a lot to expose him, what he was doing. So he was seething at me. That's what I saw in his eyes. I didn't know. I had no idea who he was, and he looked like a little bit of a wacko to me. And then I saw he had eyes like a wild animal for me. And it gave me a feeling of being hunted. It really did. It was like if I got arrested for jaywalking in York City, they'd get me for 5 felonies because that's how bad he wanted me. So then I was at a county commissioner's meeting for the children and youth in York County. Big county, it was a whole load of people there. And I was laying him out, the district attorney, publicly at this meeting. And while I'm about 2/3 of the way through, the county commissioner said, "Oh, here's district attorney Rebert now." So I turn around and there he was. And he didn't know it, but he sat, my seat was on the aisle and he ended up on the seat directly across from me on the other aisle. So when I finished, and I was saying bad things about him, they're all true, but it was bad. You know, he was allowing that Planned Parenthood Center had been a magnet to do abortions on young girls. They look like little babies going in there. I got pictures of them. I got pictures who brought them. I got pictures of the cars. I proved that not once had Planned Parenthood ever reported the underage kids to children and youth. I had a lot going. So when I came walking down the aisle there back to my seat, he was looking at me like a wild animal. So I said, "He's not intimidating me." I had faith. At this point, I knew that no matter what he did, he couldn't touch me because of the Lord. So I looked at him and we were staring at each other. I didn't take my eyes off him. I mean, we were eyeball to eyeball, and I got real close to him and he looked away. He turned his head, looked out the window. So I actually sat across from him on the other aisle, but he never looked at me and I didn't look over at him. But it's a real strange feeling to have the district attorney himself wanting you and would love to put you in jail or fine you a big amount of money or both. That's sobering, folks. That's really sobering. Okay, Sister Rita, you're up.
Yeah, Chaplain John, I thought Pastor Fred teaching tonight was really good, and it gave me a lot of stuff for thought.
Actually, I have throughout
my years of being saved, I don't think I've heard anybody teach faith like he did tonight, and it's a lot to think about because people get the grain of mustard seed. And I've heard pastors throughout the years preach that the grain of mustard seed is really tiny, kind of connecting it to your faith, that your faith is tiny. And so, but like I said, this is the first time that I've heard faith preach like, or taught like, I've never heard the, okay, I'm saying it wrong. I've never heard faith taught like Pastor Fred taught it tonight.
It was like a progression through the scriptures.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, I'm glad you were blessed.
Oh, I was. Yes. Thank you.
All right. And then we have Sister Joy here. Hello, Joy.
Oh, hello. Sorry, I come late. I'm just listening. I'll leave it be that. Go.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So, Sister Sharon, we're open for this. Is, you know, anything you want to pray about?
Okay. Dear Father God, I just come before you and ask for prayer for all of my friends here in Abba Father International and even the ones that aren't in Uber right now. They have other things that they need to do, maybe like go to sleep or something. But I just want to pray for everybody, for their safety and their needs, and spiritual needs, definitely. And I want to pray for Chaplain John because of the events that went on at his place last night. I want to pray for his safety, his family's safety, and for everybody's safety in the area, because nobody should be shooting guns off across to somebody else's property and stuff. So, dear Father God, I just pray that this stops and that everybody is safe. And I just also want to pray for all of our international pastors. It was nice to hear from Pastor Zephaniah today, to hear his voice even, and to hear what's been going on, and to see the people standing inside that church that seemed like it took forever to build and stuff, but it is usable now. It's wonderful, just wonderful. And I just thank you for that. And I also want to pray for Gladys, that whatever she's got, that you heal her, dear Father God. I know she's got cancer somewhere, but we just want her healed. If it's within your desires and your means, dear Father God, please heal Gladys. And I just thank you for that big possibility. And so, dear Father, I also want to say thank you to Pastor Fred for his teaching tonight, and just to keep him going with his teachings. He's always very clear and understandable and to the point with his teachings. And also, dear Father, I would like to pray for Long Island Steve. We haven't heard from him in a while, and I just pray that he is well and safe, and his whole family safe and well. And I just want to pray for everybody here in Abba for their health, for their safety, for having food and clothing and shelter and drinking water, good drinking water. Just like I've been talking lately again about the drinking straws to help purify the water. And you think that the children will be drinking water after they go through those straws. So it's just necessary that they have good water to drink. And I also want to say thank you for all the brochures that are being put out and published and given out to people. And as Chaplain John says, they might be read 5,000 times each, or it could be 50,000 times each. We don't know. But the wonderful thing about these brochures is that they are in so many different languages that people can go to Chaplain John's site and under the brochures find out what languages are available and possibly get the language that they need to be able to read and to preach out of. And it's such a joy, too, to see children with these brochures in their hands. And you just know that they don't have a lot of reading material. And it is such a wonderful thing to know that they can sit and read these brochures to each other and stuff. And there's just so much to be happy about with Abba Father International. And again, I want to pray for everybody's safety. I want to pray for everybody to be happy that they're here and happy that they're praying and happy that we have each other as friends, because we do all care about each other, and it's important that we let each other know. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Sharon. That was a wonderful prayer. Okay, Gigi.
Yes, I'm here, and I know we can pray about anything, and I have things to pray about, but I always like to ask you.
You go ahead and pray, and then let me put my thoughts together at the end, all right?
Okay. I have a whole list, and I can't remember it. But anyway, I will start. First of all, Lord, we want to thank you and praise you and bless you for Pastor Fred and his church and his family, Lord. And we are so grateful that you really protected him, Lord. That was amazing. And so we pray, as John did, that your angels would encamp around him and keep him safe, keep the church safe and all the people that go there, and that you would have mercy on Katie and Nate, and that you would heal them, Lord. You would heal them of these cancers, and that you would encourage them, and that they would not feel discouraged, but they would feel peace and comfort, and they would be filled with faith to believe you, Lord. And we're praying that they would have miracles, and it would be a testimony to other people that they were healed by you. So we're praying for that, Lord. And we pray also for the clubs that could start in the schools, which is unbelievable. And so we pray that that would happen. And I agree with everything that John said. They would be good clubs. They would be responsible Christians. And they would know what they were doing and do the best job for those children. And we pray protection over them too, Lord. And Lord, I just want to lift up, there are these very odd things going on. Well, I mean, it's just rebellion in some of the major cities, including Chicago and Portland. And I think there's one more, I can't remember. But things are totally out of control. Totally out of control. So we are praying over ICE, and please protect them, because they were actually circulating pictures of these people and tracking them somehow using tracking devices. So Lord, we are asking you that you would defeat, we know it's people, but we know they're listening to the enemy. So we're asking you, Lord, to defeat this, I don't know what to call it, just absolute total rebellion. These people hate people. They hate you. And I'm just asking you to deal with them according to what you know needs to be done, Lord. And in the meantime, that you would please, please protect all of the law enforcement of every type and the military of every type that is trying to get things under control. And it's so odd to look at this, Lord, because we think, how could people be this evil? But they are. But we know that you're coming soon, so it makes sense. We don't like it. We know that things are going to grow worse, but we are praying again, Lord, for outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Real outpourings, people that would really come to Christ, be filled with the Spirit, and receive proper discipleship, Lord. And they wouldn't be stolen away to any of these traditions that are really not representing you in particular. They're not presenting the real Christ, Jesus. And so we are asking you for mercy on all of them, and that you would protect them. They're going to be little sheep, Lord, and we don't want them to be taken away from the one true God. And Lord, I also want to pray for just all of the things going on in our government. And there's so much going on, I can't keep track of it. But we thank you, Lord, that there are people being exposed within these agencies. And we thank you that they have been very swift to remove them, to fire them. And so we are praying, Lord, that you would protect everyone from President Trump down the line, and all of the people that are doing the right thing, the good things, and the honest things, Lord. And we just want to see your will be done on our earth. And we are praying for Israel and the IDF and for Netanyahu and for all these things that are going on, Lord. It's something that's almost difficult to pray for, other than we know that they're surrounded by enemies. And so we are praying that the hostages would be released, whether they're alive or dead, and that would actually happen, instead of everything being always negotiated back and forth and back and forth. And so, Lord, we're just asking you to have your hand on that situation there. Protect the people of Israel. We're asking you for an outpouring on them, Jesus. Please let them understand who the real Messiah is. And Lord, I just want to lift up everybody on the line and listening, and just pray that you would put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us, that you would provide our needs in abundance, Lord, that you would help us to be aware of what's going on around us, and that you would protect us every step of the way in everything that we do. And it says, in everything, give thanks to the Lord, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So we're giving you thanks for everything, Lord. And I'm asking you again for protection for each and every one of us, for guidance, for leading, and that you would help us to understand how to do things your way and not our way, for your ways are higher than our ways. And so I just pray all of that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Then we have Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean, you're up for prayer.
Oh, I thought I prayed. I prayed for Fred, and I prayed for you, and I prayed for absolutely every one of us. And Father God, I know you know my heart. My heart is that your will be done. Oh, what Gigi was praying. I was just, yes, 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 and you know that. And there is so much. I thank you for the fact that this border situation is being turned around. They are removing the people that need to be removed, but there's still people yelling and screaming about it and fighting about it. And Father God, we want your justice to be done, and we want the people who are carrying out your justice to be protected, to have your strength and your courage and your boldness to go about the business that you would have them be about. And Father God, I pray that as they do, they know they're not doing it all in their own strength, that they are being protected and led so that they can work in cooperation with you. And it is quite a time. And right now, we all need to really be alert to what you would have us to do. And I thank you that every day is a new opportunity. And so long as we start our day with you, it's a much better start than it would be if we don't. And we're with a bunch of people that don't want to miss the opportunity to bring you glory and to learn, to grow, and to do things less the way of the world and more your way. And so we're with good people who are, as we grow, each one of us is an example in different ways and a gift for our learning. And I thank you for that. And so I pray protection over each and every one that comes regularly to both learn and to grow and to share and to love with your love, which touches my heart so much when I hear people pray. So, Father God, just keep on having your will and your way in the lives of those that are asking you to, because it's making this world a better place. And it's getting us more prepared for the great outpouring and the return of Jesus and that glorious day. I give you praise and thanksgiving for being with us every time we gather and every time we just look to you in our own home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Then we have Rita, Sister Rita.
Okay, Chaplain. Okay. Father, I thank you, Father, for today. And I thank you for all that you have provided for me. Water, food, clothing, housing. You have blessed me, Father. And I thank you for dying and loving me when I was not worthy. Father, I hold up America to you. I pray and ask, Father in heaven, that you would forgive, heal, and have mercy on America. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America. Father, we do not deserve your mercy. We are a very sinful nation, Father. In our cities, all our major cities, Father, are sinful places. And Father, I ask that you would stop the spreading of Islam that is moving across America. And I pray for all the Muslims, Father, that believe in Allah. I pray, Father, that that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. I pray this, Father, for all the Muslims that live in America. And Father, I ask that you would move the hearts of Christians in America to witness to these Muslims. And also, Father, I hold up Israel to you. I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around her and give her peace. I pray for every single Jew that lives in Israel will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And Father, I also pray that you would protect, encourage, and comfort Prime Minister Netanyahu, guide and direct him in all of his decisions that he makes for Israel. And I ask, Father, for the saving knowledge of Netanyahu and his wife, that they would come to the saving knowledge of your Son. I ask, Father, that you would bless their marriage and bless his children. And Father, I pray for the IDF. I pray that you would protect and put a hedge of protection around these young men and women that are fighting for their country. I pray that, Father, that each and every one of them will come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray, Father, for Mike Huckabee, that he will be a blessing to Israel. And keep Mike Huckabee close to you and your Son, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, for President Trump. You have blessed us with President Trump. Keep him safe, encourage him, and comfort him, Father. and put a hedge of protection around him. I pray, Father, that President Trump would love you and your son more with each passing day. I ask that you would bless his marriage and bless his children. And I ask for the salvation of Melania, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I also pray for J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha, that they would come to the saving knowledge of your son. Show J.D. Vance, Usha, and Melania how corrupted the Catholic Church is. And also, Father, I also pray for Chaplain John. I hold him up to you. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen Chaplain John. And guide him in all that he teaches and what he writes. And I pray that you would help him to make time for him to finish up the brochures or start the new brochures that he wants to write and that the brochures that he's working on. Bless and anoint all his brochures and the books that many will come to the saving knowledge of your son and many hearts will be healed. And Father, I also pray that you would encourage, strengthen, guide, and direct all of the Abba Father Fellowship pastors and bless their churches. And Father, I ask that you would provide food, water, clothing, shelters to these poor churches. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in each and every Abba Father Church, Father. And Father, I also hold up Charlie Kirk's wife. Father, she may be a Catholic, so I'm going to ask that I'm asking for the salvation of her soul, Father, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son and that you would show her how corrupted and sinful the Catholic Church is, Father. I pray that you would comfort her, encourage her, and strengthen her and her family. Charlie Kirk's parents and his siblings. And I pray, Father, I also pray this for all the people that worked with Charlie on an everyday basis. Strengthen these people, Father, and heal their broken hearts. And Father, I pray, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our college campuses and in all our major sinful cities across America, Father. And Father, I pray for Pastor Fred. Bless him. And I thank you for his teachings, Father. They have blessed me. I pray that you strengthen him, comfort him, and encourage him, Father. And I ask you that you would heal his leg that is damaged. And I also pray that you would help him and strengthen him with about Katie and Nate. I'm sure he worries about them, Father. And I just ask that you would comfort his heart about his children. And I pray for Katie and Nate. I pray that you would heal them, strengthen him, and comfort them both, Father. And I pray also for Pastor Fred's church. I ask, Father, that you would bless his church and then that it be a lighthouse to the community where it is located at, Father. And I pray for each and every one of us, Father, that is online tonight, that you would strengthen us encourage us and comfort us, Father, and heal any broken hearts, Father. And I pray this all in the holy and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And then we have Sister Kathy. You'll probably close us out, Sister Kathy.
Well, I wanted to say Mr. Perkins passed away, the man that was so wonderful with history and things. And so his funeral will be Friday, and he had no children, and he was like the last one left. So, but there'll be plenty of people at his funeral, I'm sure. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for Brother Don and how he just inspired so many. He kept history alive. He just knew so much, and just 91 years old, and had the wealth of his parents' memories and his grandmother's memories, and it was just a treasure, Lord. I thank you for things like that. And Lord, I pray for America, and Lord, it is just, everything has come in full circle. This is just the way it was in the early 1900s, Lord, and the slant on the news and the reporting of Christianity and things like that. It is really amazing how that is. And we just thank you that there is such a documented historical record. And we're just appreciative of that, Lord. And thank you that one generation tells another generation the great things you have done. And it's just unbelievable, Lord, the time and the season we're in right now. And we know that you are soon coming. And we know that this revival will, this awakening will take place, and then the end will come. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight, everyone, Lord Jesus, that is praying in agreement, God. And we just know that you are working all things together for your good. And we love you with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and our neighbor as ourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well,
oh,
little,
can I?
Sure. There's more time.
I just remembered. Lord, I want to pray for Chaplain John and all the things that he has to do. I thank you that he is safe and secure, and that they will be fine, Lord, in the final analysis. And you protect, you guide, and you direct. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. And I do want to pray for Pastor Fred, and thank you for him, and help him, Lord, in every way he needs help, and bless his children. And Lord, Pastor Dove, thank you for him and his recovery. Though the pain is extreme, he will get over this surgery, and he will be better very soon. And we just thank you for all your goodness, your mercy, your peace that passes all understanding. And all the people that have given prayer requests, we just say yes and amen to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Father, thank you so much for tonight, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Fred's teaching about faith. And Lord, that may we all grow in faith, Lord. Faith is, well, you respond to faith, Lord. So I thank you for all the prayers you've answered through our faith here in this ministry, Lord. So many were answered through the years, Lord. So many. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Lord, as I'm watching the events now in the country, it looks like the left here, the woke and the communists and all, they want to have a confrontation with the federal government. So, Lord, this is serious. In fact, that mayor of Chicago says the Republicans and people like us want another civil war. We want it. They're absolved from what they're doing, Lord. They're just like classic criminals from what they're doing, only their governors and mayors. but they are criminals, criminal minds. So, Lord, I think that there is going to be a time of strife now, but there's a calling now, Lord, on the nation, and anything that gets in the way is going to be dealt with. So, Lord, I'm asking you to deal with these groups, Lord. They're trying to start war in the cities, Lord. So we invite you into this, Lord, that with the Holy Spirit, to subdue it, Lord. This criminal element, if necessary, Lord, arrest the mayors, that they be arrested, and the governors for inciting riots, Lord, and interfering with the government process. It's amazing to watch the boldness in them, Lord. And they are anarchists. There's a whole bunch of things they are. But nothing can interfere with this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Nothing. So we praise you and thank you. Thank you for tonight, Lord. It was a wonderful night, Lord. Very peaceful night. I sense this was very peaceful tonight, Lord. So we praise you and thank you and give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. All right, tomorrow morning I will be at the prayer group in the morning, so Sister Sharon and Sister Kathy will be here and others, but they're the two faithful ones there that are always there backing me up. So they'll be leading. Then tomorrow night it will be Bible teaching on the rest of Zephaniah chapter 14, and then I'll probably do a teaching on Zephaniah chapter 13. So we'll have done 12, 13, and 14. Because 13 is also about the day of the Lord. But it's not taught. It's not taught much at all. So I do want to teach it because it should be together, 12, 13, and 14. Well, God bless everybody. Thank you, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow night. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone that hath this hope in him should purify himself even. No, wait a second. Let me get the scripture now. And everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. God bless you.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.